children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show, back on the air after a year plus hiatus. I'm glad to be back and got some exciting new things lined up for everybody. And the first one, of course, is my wild and crazy physicist friend, Dr. Rick Miller, who is going to talk to us about lots of little things about, you know, how to utilize the quantum physics and how to make things happen, you know, creating your life. And so he'll be on in a little bit, and like to mention to you that the show is brought to you by Starlight's Ranch, and we'll be able to discuss everything that they do next week. And I'm also going to do some healing stuff next week, which is a new energy field thing called the Cell and Organ Regeneration Program. So lots of exciting new things have transpired, and I think that you guys are going to enjoy it. I hope that you do. And, of course, I'm always open to suggestions, and you can email me directly at dr.valerienmd, that's Nancy Mary David, or as my late husband used to say, no money doctor, at gmail.com. So tonight is going to be kind of a little bit looser than usual, just because I've been off the air for a while. I have lots of strange and otherwise, wonderful miracles happening in my life. I bet that a lot of you have too. It's been kind of an amazing trip. And boy, I don't know what else to say other than for those of you that are suffering physical illnesses that kind of suddenly popped up in the last year or two, you have my utmost sympathies. And it's not unusual. You're not alone. A lot of us have been going through it. And boy, I'll tell you, it's one of those things where you kind of go, okay, God, I know I might have agreed to this, but can I opt out now? Because this is a little bit much. So if you're in that state of affairs, then take heart, because the new show is going to be all about finding solutions to life's strange upcoming problems. And so tonight, my guest is going to also be talking about preparedness. And he has an extensive history in agriculture and teaches people how to grow all over the world and has written, gosh, I forgot to ask him at this count, but when I talked to him about it before, about 300 books, small books on how to grow particular herbs and cash crops and things like that. He's been lecturing for quite some time to different agricultural centers. And other than that, in his spare time, he's a physicist and was one of the guys that the Navy used to send out to find natural vortexes. And he's done all kinds of mind experiments and things like that. He's one of the MIB guys, you know, like the scientist in the basement. You know, he's kind of one of those guys. And very, very interesting guy. No matter what he talks about, he's utterly fascinating. So I think that you're going to have a lot of fun listening. And, of course, you can call in with any of your questions. And just in case you don't have the numbers, the U.S. and Canada line is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. And line 1 is 530-327-7602. Again, that's 530-327-7602 for the direct line. And a second line is 530-413-4522. Again, second line is 530-413-4522. So now I hope I've taken care of the housekeeping stuff, because, you know, I get distracted when I'm thinking about something quantum physics related. So hopefully I've got those in enough. And if not, then you can always go to bbsradio.com, station 2, the Enlightened Medicine Show, and that'll pop up with all of the call-in numbers for you as well. So in case you're wondering what all the hoopla is that's going on all of a sudden about the change in 2012, a lot of people have been saying for years that there's going to be big disasters in 2012. And there might be. I don't know. I've seen a lot of different scenarios myself. I think what's going to be happening is more of a sifting according to your consciousness. So if you can imagine that the great creator has a series of sifters and he's going to be sifting us all out, then wherever you fit through the hole is where you end up. And I can tell you that the best thing that you can do, no matter what happens, is to keep love in your heart. And as long as you keep love and joy in your heart, keep your vibratory level up, then you've got a much better chance not only of surviving anything that comes down, but also of ending up in, you know, a much better reality. And when I talk about realities that you could end up in, I can tell you a firsthand experience of slipping through different realities and no, not due to drugs and not due to being in the loony bin or anything like that. I've just had a lot of very strange experiences in my life that have shown me things that are a little bit different. And I'm just a little more conscious of it. We all do this all the time. There's my buddy, Dr. Richard Allen Miller. It is so good to have you on the inaugural show. And I was just telling everybody that you're a real MIB, the scientist in the basement type. And we're going to talk about quantum physics and how it relates to creation tonight. And about...
I don't know if I can do very well in that area, Rena, but okay.
Oh, yes, you can.
Well, you know, I'm more of a holographic universe. Quantum universes are, in my universe, my models that I'm developing now, they're kind of like a subset of possible realities in a holographic model. And I can elaborate more on that later. But quantum mechanics, I was reading this Adam Reed. I think I did a video on the spirituality of physics. And I have a link I'll send to you tomorrow so that you can... It's excellent. It's a long one. But he comes down on Hawking's and some others because of their theory of everything concept, which eliminates... It puts physics in the same category medicine has come into, you know, where it's kind of a bunch of flimflam, you know, with the... Baryon and some of the new space particles that they're discovering. It takes the mystery school out of physics. You know, the part that is not knowable. Because I, in all of my years, Valerie, I have come to realize there is an element in physics that is not knowable possibly at any century. It doesn't work like that. Like the way the information is arrayed, it's not a knowable command, like Riemann's demand for an algebraic expression for recurring primes. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not true. I know someone that did that, but that's another story. Hi, Valerie.
Hi.
What would you like to talk about with quantum universes? What would you like to discuss?
I'll tell you, you know, Rick, as you know,
I can barely hear you, too, by the way. Can you get your gain up for me?
Yeah, Doug will handle that.
Okay, there you go, okay. Douglas. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, the thing that I
That's
find
perfect.
So
Thank
fascinating.
You, by the way. Yep.
Good. The thing that I find so fascinating about where quantum physics and quantum mechanics is going in the whole holographic universe concept is that this is stuff that I and people that have been labeled crazy through various periods in our lives from, you know, normal people, quote unquote, have been dealing with for a long time. You know, I'm quite aware that we slip into some other kind of reality. All of us do. It's just that a lot of people don't recognize it. You know, they're not tuned into it because they have the blinders on, you know. And you and I had talked, years ago.
The dumbing down of America with our food.
Yeah. And the thing, too, is that with what's been going on beyond that, but I mean the whole idea, you know, the structure of schools and telling you, oh, this doesn't exist, auras don't exist, you can't possibly see colors, you can't, you know, affect somebody at a distance, you know, you can't have telepathy and yada, yada, yada. You know, there's tons of people that are more or less intuitional or psychic who know that this stuff is real and have been dealing with it all of their lives. And, you know, some people unfortunately ended up in the loony bin and got electroshock and everything else because they weren't strong enough to stand in their own, unlike people like me that are called things that starts with an A. And
well, no, the reason you haven't been messed with is because of your shotguns. But
that's true.
I'm just kidding, Valerie. Everybody's afraid the Benny Jesuit are taking over. Quantum mechanics... It comes out of 1901, you know, and Heisenberg, and with his uncertainty principle, that suggested that the more you could know about one thing, the less you could know about another. That's one of the results of a quantum universe, and the two primary factors around that would be entanglement, which leads to the Bose-Einstein condensate, you know, about two particles at opposite ends of the universe that are somehow simply connected. You know, that when this particle moves that way, the particle way at the other end of the universe does that in a response. How does that work? And where that led was the concept of possibly it's the same particle and you have two different cameras or views of the same particle, and that rather than look at the universe as space and time, that if you chose to look at it as a quantum of information, and that really rather than talk about entanglement and decoherence, you suggested resolutions, then you have the next concept of quantum coming out in the way you group one set of informations to another, like the physical, emotional, intellectual, archetypal, green, blue, red. There's a spectrum, but somehow in the way we group certain kinds of information, like red over green, we know where it becomes blue over green, and everybody agrees. Even the colorblind have some kind of sense that allows an agreement there. How does that work? Mm-hmm. And that's what's led, basically, to talking about a universe of information rather than space-time. You know, Robert Ornstein said that time was the duration of consciousness. It was the way you wrapped your proteins around your memory spool and the way you stored information. And the fact that you had two brains and a bottleneck called the neodol, which had to go from right to left brain, that's why it was difficult, and moving certain kinds of process thinking, that created a duration of time for a memory and a snippet of when it started to when it ended. That's the way you clip your proteins. And so I'm going to suggest that Lawrence Lashawn had it right when he wrote a book called The Medium, The Mystic, and The Physicist, where he said the three grand illusions were space, time, and ego. And consciousness itself is something that we need to focus on more, because in a quantum universe, there are certain realities that are available, and in a holographic universe, other realities are available. And so your construct of a model of one over another is arbitrary and predicated on what you're trying to finish your end goal. And so that's why in physics they invented Hilbert space. They had in quantum mechanics, they had a problem called the many-body problem, which was literally impossible to solve an equation of motion for two electrons. It was too complex. We didn't have the mathematics to do that. And so what they would do is they'd create a simple universe, call it Hilbert space, where the solution was very simple, and then they would translate it back out through a series of approximations. And that's why the concept of space and time have been considered illusionary, because the old forms of Descartes separating the mind from the body meant that everything was measurable, and it may not work like that. In fact, rather than talking about curved space, now we have string theory with tunneling and event horizons, precursor waves in solid-state physics, where we know an event will occur because something's happening right here, like a coronal mass ejection in Japan disappearing. But that would be why we would use one model over another, because we're looking for a different kind of a reality or options to that universe. And a holographic universe allows you to change the movie.
That means that's what's interesting.
It's the brain. The brain can, by some standards, be seen as a big crystal sitting on top of an antenna. You've got your body with all of its circulatory system and all the different things going through it. And it's like an antenna, and it's radiating and transmitting and it's receiving, Schumann's resonance, whatever. And the brain is something more, like the difference between a DNA. DNA is a three-dimensional hologram of force space. It's who you were, who you are, and who you will be. And that's what they call that so-called transgenic coding systems, epigenetics on code, supercode, like that knows that this gene came from mom over that one, even though there's not a marker on it. How do you know that? Well, there's coding within, and in a holographic universe, we would call that the resolution of the hologram. And Timothy Leary came up with what he called the neurologic circuits. There's eight basic circuits he suggested, with LSD and dimethyltryptamine and, marijuana and whatever. They were all neurotransmitters, specific geometry, that allowed information to be enfolded or defolded into or out of itself on layers of resolution. And I'm writing a book now called The Non-Local Mind in a Holographic Universe. And because the brain has amorphous semiconductors, let's say, it's constantly changing and can likely be said to be a four-dimensional hologram of five space. Now, why we're all enjoying the same movie, Horror on Elm Street, how's it going for you, babe? mine's shitty. And with that said, to be able to learn how to train your body, mind, to go to a different place in the brain causes you to have a different projection of reality. And actually, the neurologic circuit that connects the dots, lysergic acid amide, that's when you go, oh, I got it. You had that flash. That's LSD in your brain. It's not LSD in your body. How LSD worked was that they gave you lysergic acid amide, dilithiamide, and your body overreacted, and it freaked out, and it started generating its own lysergic acid amide. The LSD that you had taken is completely broken down. It's into the urine within about 20 minutes of ingestion, and the next 20 hours is your body's response to its own brain chemistry. That's exactly how LSD works. And really, the reason they're using it in therapy now is they jumpstart the brain to start its production of creativity. That is the creativity drug. That's the one that connects one dot to another. Now, because the brain is amorphous semiconductor and there's liquid crystal phases and other things rolling at every given moment, it's changing, would suggest that if you were in a different place in the brain, your projection into the physical world is different. You could change. And that's one of the reasons why all the saints in history have suggested the importance of meditation and training the brain. That's a Persinger one. There's a specific set of brain chemistries associated with meditation. There are other things besides meditation that will alter your brain. Number 8, flat iron skillet works really good. I wake up real fast with that one. Nah, I'm yes, just kidding.
Well, no, you know, a lot of people have become suddenly more intuitional, connected with God and things like that from blows to the brain. And
well,
I
wasn't going to try to suggest we be a bunch of Jesuits and whip ourselves, but
no.
really, I was going to suggest that there's brain drivers, there's biofeedback, there are all kinds of Sufi breathing techniques where you breathe through one nostril and another that will alter your state of consciousness. And what my second book that I've written has an ontology of mystical states. There's a whole hierarchy of them. And what you're trying to do is evolve to the higher holograms where you have more realization of self. And that is brain chemistries and orchestrating them, which are easily done by visualization exercises. You know, sacred geometry, just holding that in your mind's eye using hypnosis is a very powerful tool. And then with your toys that you use where you're sending geometry at their eye and colors, patterns and things, this is the next generation of magic using what I call yogatronics and electromagic. It's video feedback systems like you're using. I've written a couple of books on that.
That's very interesting because when I'm trying to explain to people still, but I'm getting more reception about it now, is that you can change your life by changing your information. And you and I had talked about that a couple years ago. And if you, it's like Dr. Wayne Dyer had a thing out called "You'll See It When You Believe It." And I used to tell
I would
that.
Say it better like, I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't have believed it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, really, man, it's so completely arbitrary, and nobody yet has a clue, including me. None of us have a clue. I mean, we're only just now starting to explore the importance of altered states of consciousness. You know, I'm going to say some remarkable things here. I'm going to say that magic, Aleister Crowley magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, is a higher form of physics reserved for the ultra elite of Europe for centuries. All your famous philosophers and writers all ascribed to magical orders where they could express metaphysics, beyond physics, the worldview being beyond, and then the physics part was bringing it down into the physical plane. That's what it was about, physical laws, blah, blah, blah. But the meta part, the philosophy part, had to be broader based. And the broader based your model worldview is, the more access you have to the universe. The big question about belief systems and some of the brain driver center point kinds of movements that are going on now would suggest that if you were a staunch Christian and two aliens walked in the door, would you be able to see them? Would your belief system filter out that reality as a not possible?
Probably.
And it's been shown that most of us are driven by things we've assumed from our parents and childhood, what we call a priori, trained at birth. We don't even know where that belief came from, but we believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you could somehow witness yourself doing something, you can change it just like you would a habit. It takes several months, three periods of the moon is the way Aleister Crowley would put it, to change a habit. That means for 3 months you have to be active. And let me say this, your habits are what determine your reality. The way you play the little game of squeezing the toothpaste on your toothbrush before the water from the toilet clears, that kind of little games you play, determines your addictions and behavior. And that there are possibilities of changing that behavior with electrical stimulation, light, sound, and other sensory inputs. Your intuitions are most likely from other senses that cats and or avian ways of flying, you know, their avian sensors that they have so they know where they're flying north with what they call paired objects in electrons, that we have similar things and that we're not tuned into them on the conscious level, and that our subconscious, or higher self, if you will, has a lot more reality about what's going on. And if you realize that space and time are not real, then that would suggest that everything is timeless and that you're doing something else with that information, and that there are ways to change it. I had a technique a Sifu taught me on how to change my perception of time with breathing, so that when I was doing Hangao, which was a form of martial art, I experienced it like a Chan Buddhist would, where it was in slow motion and I had all the time in the world to adjust my hand for precision of the word off. Mm-hmm. And that's done just with breathing. That's one of the more important things one does. The first thing you do when you enter this world, it's the last thing you do when you exit. And so that, I would say, just, you know, 10% of your life ties to breathing exercises like jogging, swimming, riding a bicycle is a paramount as part of your lifestyle, just for training your body to the controlled breathing using didgeridoo, virtual audio. There's a variety of tools out there, toys,
sure,
that you could use to develop that. And that's what I'm writing about now. I'm writing about those toys, how to have a little fun, evolution of conscious, how to jerk
it up. I can tell you that when I did the Quantum Vortex tour and had the devices with me and did all that stuff, I had many atheists along the way who suddenly realized that they could believe in a creator source of everything. They couldn't believe in the religious dogma, but they certainly believed this other because they saw it.
Well, yeah, but that again, now, seeing something is believing in it. Mm-hmm. You got to be very careful there. Yeah. Which one came first?
Well, and the thing too is, you know, like I've been lucky. I've been blessed with having a pretty open mind. And so I just observe, and I trained myself through years of meditation and martial arts as well to just kind of, you know, sit back and be the observer of my life and to see what was going on and really notice things around me. So I notice a lot of things other people never have any realization of. And
there
is no question that there are people
in our world that see things that you or me, I don't see. I have met mediums that see elementals, you know, demons and angels, the lesser and higher forms. You know, and when you look at the turbulence in water, you know, going down a river, you can see the undine. You can see what would have been referred to in 14th century magic as a demon or an elemental, more precisely, a lesser form. That is what Bearden and others had called scalars. A scalar wave or a scalar is something that's less. A scalar of you, for example, would be your shadow. It's you on the ground in reference to sun in the ground, angle of elevation for the light, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that scalar is not you. It's a lesser aspect of you or a lesser dimension of you. And the whole of the universe could be seen that way with eight layers, you know, like the Fibonacci thing, the seven octaves and a chord. You know, Pythagoras, base eight. Pythagoras was a pretty incredible, you know, all his Bravais lattices and the way matter folds I had in solid state physics, it all came out of his math, the golden rule, of course. The part with music and octaves, but more important evenly, was the way cymatics, where you can chant across the water, and what you do is you set up resonances on the water where sacred geometry starts to form from resonant patterns. And that's where the changing of one Mendelbrot, you know, fractal, goes to the next one in a holographic system. And that's why if your Mendelbrot generator is, let's say, 1 inch across, the next one is at 1 inch, 7 7/10 or something like that. It isn't 3 inches, it isn't 12 inches. It's got a ratio of where it goes from this size to the next size in terms of its unfolding in the mathematical forms of fractal math. They have Julia and May patterns that are also subsets, but the whole thing is very simply understood that really what a holographic universe is, the way information folds into or out of itself. And why I'm going to suggest this is because that when the storms on Jupiter changed, things on Earth changed, and there should be no known laws, electromagnetic fields, that would relate one thing to another, and yet we observe them. We observe coronal mass ejections coming off the sun that are in the precision of DNA. How does that work, and how does that, what does that mean? As above, so below is a model having to do with the way a hologram resolves information. And really what a definition of a hologram is n dimensions of information in n minus one dimensions. It is like Dirac notation or the Hamiltonian. It is an abbreviation of a mathematical system of the way information folds in on itself. It's exciting to realize that with this kind of a model, it may be possible for us to go to other places in the brain and literally change reality. Reality is not really real. What is real is your imagination. Everything starts from the inside and is projected outward. And your body...
A vast virus database has been updated.
Talking to me. Sorry about that. It's a very rude computer. It interrupts and does all kinds of things. That's the name of that one. A little ad for the day. Now, with that said, I think that this next century is going to show man moving to a whole another level of evolution in his relationship to himself and his environment. Certainly, what's going on right now is not sustainable. And so the good news is, okay, that means it isn't going to be around very long either.
Yeah, thank God.
And that there are possibilities where each of us that are listening to this message can take personal responsibility for your own evolution. And once you do that, it's an exciting ride.
It is incredibly easy to do, too. And, you know, I when I'm talking with people doing some healing work on them, if they're very left brain, the first thing they say, you know, I tell them, okay, all you have to do is change your belief system. And they go, well, how do I do that?
That
I just go, just do it. Here, let me show you. And I'll take them through something. And I've had several people that have completely gone like 180 degrees different in about 20 minutes of doing this energy work I was talking to you about the other day, which is an informational system. It's going up to the informational level and, you know, taking it through the borderline and having it manifest in this world. I've changed my own life with that, and I'm helping other people to change their lives. And I mean, it's just really wild. It just to watch it, and it changes the past as well. And now I've done some of that work with holographic memory resolution years ago, but this is quicker, and it's just amazing, and it's just kind of mind blowing because you know you'll change something, you feel the shift within you, you know it's changed.
Right. There is a thing in brain neurophysiology. I've been dialoguing with this Dr. Norm Shealy, and I am just amazed. He's writing about the same things I am, only on another level, and it's wonderfully exciting for me. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a physicist, and so my universe has its own limitations, you know, in terms of what I try to grok and where I can go with it. I think the spiritual element of taking, there's something else going on here, and I'm going to, for lack of another word, say it's God. I have no idea what it is. It's not knowable. It's not, by definition, not definable even. It's something more going on. You sense it. There it is. But what is it? And for centuries, physicists have tried to length, girth, and width that, and it may not work that way because space-time may not be the appropriate way to approach this. And if that's true, and it's about information, then what does that suggest about death and dying and life after death and the possibilities of other concepts that we have not yet even begun to discuss?
Exactly. Well, and it's like, you know, anybody that's had a near-death experience, they'll tell you that this life that we think is real is just a dream. And, you know, having been there 6 times myself, I can tell you it changed me dramatically because I realized, first of all, you don't have to be afraid of death. And it's all like a giant video game that we're in. And they even had an episode on Star Trek like that, you know.
I remember that, too. That LSD therapy with Kubler-Ross and the terminally ill. You know, that was where they did not have the fear of death and were able to confront and go into it, like Leary might have suggested in his varieties of, you know, using the Bordeaux-Thedall, the life and death or rebirth part of prose. You know, that book, the Varieties of Psychedelic Experience, that is a monumental book on magic. I don't believe there's ever been anything this last century quite to that level, including Crowley.
And what was the name of that book again? What was the name of that book again?
The Varieties of Psychedelic Experience, his original book on it, with the Bordeaux-Thedall, where he showed you how to use the Bordeaux-Thedall in ritual. He says, for example, in the early part of that book, that there are 4 reasons for getting high, and only one of them, in Buddhist systems, and only one of them is for entertainment and or escape. You know, drugs are not a bad thing. In fact, sugar is probably one of the heavier drugs that most of us are all addicted to now. And really, you know, Ricochet Rabbit, it's magic is the art. It's an art form, like sculpting or painting, like laser mane and sleight of hand. It's the next level, or next hologram, of changing consciousness at will. And so you can change and make the reality change with you. And does the reality change? Yes, because the change actually begins inside yourself. That may seem complicated, but it means that whatever you can imagine in your mind's eye will most likely happen if you continue that thought form. That's what they're called, thought forms, and they have a body of energy to them, and the more you put into them, the more they happen. And that's the whole principle, for example, in the magic of Crowley with sex magic and tantric yoga was the Masonic secret that would say the thought that occurs at the moment of climax happens. And that's probably why a lot of marriages are busted up. People don't keep their disciplines right and their priorities set on what fantasies are and what they are not. You know, some fantasies are not even, they get ruined when you try to actualize them. The fantasy's richness lies in the inside part of your mind and its promise for possibilities. And if you can use that energy as a tool, now you become an avatar. That's what the next level of evolution is called. There, Dr. Charlotte Bach did her doctoral thesis at the Warburg, and it was titled Homo Mutant, Homo Lumen, and the Light Body, the Next Evolutionary Stage of Man is to Become Enlightened. So it's a stage in mystical states of consciousness. It's easily achieved with practice, with meditation and hypnotic techniques. Drugs work. There are toys like biofeedback that will work, brain drivers. You know, there are a variety of different things, didgeridoo. There's all kinds of, there are levels of that, of those toys. One of them in psychology, Jungian psychology, is called mythic living. Let me give you an example of how I did that with myself. This last 2 years, I had 9 primary surgeries. I turned 65, I knew Medicare isn't going to last very long, and so I got the titanium and all my different joints that I needed. And I'm actually at 68 in better shape physically than when I was 50 years old. Now, with that said, the titanium and all the rest of it, I used it as a metaphor in the restoration of my 280Z. I have a 280Z that is 1976, and when I did the rust and replaced one panel in the floorboard, I took and put a plate in my gut where I had a herniated belly button and where I had two hips. I then changed the struts on this car. I used the rebuilding of my 280Z as a metaphor for what I was doing to my physical body. And when you approach life from that metaphorical place, there is an amazing ability. I would say that more than 50% of all healing occurs in your own mind's eye and what you choose arbitrarily to think is happening, and that most all illnesses is an attempt from your subconscious to communicate what's wrong with your life to your consciousness, and once you get it, there's no need for the illness.
Exactly.
That's how it works with mythic living. That's one of the power tools of a number of power tools that we train Navy SEALs with so that they could. Now, you know, Christianity is a hard one. A lot of people feel very comfortable with their religious beliefs. But if you're going into the middle of Iraq, it may not serve you very well in that moment of goals that do not or preclude Christianity. And with that said, I could say, I have a pair of bell-bottom pants that I used to wear in the 70s. I'm never going to fit in them again. But do you think I'm going to throw those bell-bottom pants away?
Of course not.
Not a chance in January, man. They represent Christianity, and belief systems are like that. Some of them are very comfortable, and you don't want to necessarily get rid of them. But they may not be appropriate for the goal in the moment, in which case, you need to use them like a tool rather than a given driver. Because when you do that, you have set up the limitations and possibilities of that universe. And what you want is more access.
That is something that I'm so glad that you touched on that, because I think the hardest thing for people to understand about where we're going is that it is choice. And that we are all having this collective dream, but there's lots of different collective dreams going on.
And it's scary. Fukushima.
Yeah.
You know, the politics aren't even talking about the really important things that the public's not asking the president's candidates the right questions. And now they got their young female moderator. Okay, they did it. That would be the charge of the century if that little lady asked them real questions about your take on the global warming and what's happening right now with the worst drought in recorded history.
Yeah.
And what's that going to do with food and the corn prices and how Monsanto loves it? How's that go? Oh, yeah, Burger King, and I'm loving it. That's crazy. And nobody's talking about any of these issues that are exceptionally important right now.
Yeah, we're going to have you on the show again to talk about preparedness.
Oh, it's terrible.
You know,
they have not capped off Reactor 4, which means that we have a global event, and HAZMAT is now predicting something for September 17th and again on the 26th of September, flooding. If that happens, 40 million people from Tokyo, where are they going to put them? The lost cities of China. There you go. There, you know, that isn't going to work culturally. That wouldn't work at all. But
do you think?
Well, no, man. But there's some chatter. I heard there's some chatter. There are two islands up in the North Kamchatka Sea, up in Russia, that has been negotiated by Japan for a relocation center. That is on the internet. Chatter. Kamchatka Sea. I don't know what's really going on. I'm just, you know, in Grants Pass, Oregon, a little grass pants, Oregon. I manage a bunker here for Navy. It's small. It's not a big deal. This is copland here. I've got a lot of Ku Klux Klan and Posse Comitatus running around with Mormons and Seventh-day Adventists. They're all bow hunters, of course. It's Survival Center here. We have underground bunkers all over the place, and now congressmen are having, may others, actually go into gated communities and lucid retirement homes and teaching the seniors how to live off the grid and form little kibbutzim.
Well, you know, the seniors don't need us so much as the baby boomers and the Gen X's and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be the one showing the kids how to do it. When the grid does go down, their beloved internet's not going to have a knowledge base, and the libraries are closed. Now what do we do?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have you on again for strictly addressing those particular issues because we're almost up now.
You know, it's
a very short time.
I've got some other friends like Matt Stein,
because you're so knowledgeable.
Yeah, these guys are. Matt has written some cool books on Foxfire. You know, how to when the grid does go down, how to cook your meat, blah blah blah. But you don't have to do it like Grandpa did it,
right?
Yeah. You know, you can use some newer, simpler technology, and in terms of solar panels, things of that nature, that's going to be the first thing that goes. They'll fry, but you can grow those crystals just like you would carrots. Mm-hmm. And replace them. And so it doesn't have to be all bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there are possibilities.
I don't think it's going to be all bad. I really think it's going to be just according to people's knowledge. You know, the whole information thing, I think, is key, because it's not only the information on the other side or in the holographic universe that we can tap into and change our lives with, but it's also the information that we call knowledge that we can tap into right now and learn how to take care of ourselves instead of thinking the government's going to come and save us, because people are going to tell you that ain't happening.
You know, the rapture never came and got me last month. I never got taken. Did you get taken? I didn't get taken. What happened there? Look, man, the person that helps you is going to be you. And the person that's going to make you evolve is you. It isn't some angel coming down or some demon coming up or whatever. It's going to be active participation. And I'm going to recommend that everyone listening to the show tithe a portion of next year toward a single project of moving slightly off the grid. It could be a little victory garden. For me, I'm going to grow comfrey with a still in the back, and I'm going to make solar alcohol from comfrey and run my 280Z off it.
Cool.
And while the 280Z won't have the zip petroleum did, neither do I. But it'll get me around. I don't need the oil company. And if I put Redline oil in it, I'll never need to change my oil ever again either. All I'll have are tires and, you know, the usual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, life does not need to change with slight things. And I think the first step for everybody would most likely be to set up an infrastructure around food, a local community garden where it's seen as a recreational sport. Bozeman has it. They're in Missoula. They have 1,000 gardens. There's all kinds of community-supported agricultural infrastructures. And I would recommend that be the place that everybody starts first. The food bank and the food kitchens will have a source of food for anybody, not just transients, for a time when... You know what a zombie is? A zombie is East L.A. when they're out of food.
Yeah.
Well, imagine what that's going to be like. And imagine living in New York City, and you're 6 flights up, and there's no power for flushing the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It'd be messy.
I don't think people
get it. It'd
be like
the days of old. Hey, we have to cut this short because we're about to be off. So would you please give people your website, Rick, and so they can go and check things out?
RichardAllenMiller.com. And Allen is A-L-A-N. So I'm RichardAllenMiller.com. I have blogs on there. If you go /blog, that will take you to a part of my website that has 10 to 20 uploads each day that even now news services like Al Jazeera is using with me, because we're trying to address more immediate problems than aliens or what do they call it, people that are not on green cards going into Colorado. You know, migrant labor is important. The United States should have certain kinds of open borders, and what we need to do is stop their birth control. I mean, really, man, that's all it's really about, is third world countries coming here and having too many babies.
Well, we that's topic for another show. We got to go. We're about to get yanked off with the hook here.
All right.
So thank you so much for
–
yeah, me too. I always love having you on the show. I do want to have you on for the sustainability thing. And
I'd
so we do that on another show.
No problem.
And I'll be calling you to put that together.
Cool.
Matt Stein is going to be on the show.
And I've got a couple of others for you too. So when you're ready, just let me know and I'll steer you toward different ones. Matt would be a great one.
Oh, yeah, I've interviewed him.
He wrote
him.
A paper
awesome.
Called 400 Chernobyls. What does that bring to mind?
Oh, that, yeah. Oh,
yeah,
what a weird show.
Says it all just in the title. I mean, the whole thing's nuts about nuclear energy. I don't get it.
I know. Well, that's another show. All right, folks, thank you for listening in. You have been listening to the Enlightened Medicine Show, and our guest tonight has been Dr. Richard Allen Miller, physicist, biophysicist, herbalist, farmer, and a whole bunch of other things. So thanks for being on the show, Rick. Thank you, people, for listening. And tune in next week for some more interesting stuff. Thank you very much. Nighty-night.
Children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Awaken, awaken, awaken.